I had to work on it because it kept giving me red hair. I'm not Sam.
I was about to say superior hair, but
because it takes me a day to whip this piece of shit into something that's listenable.
That's because somebody's fucking car alarm went off.
I know, right? Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of South Geek News. I am Donovan.
I am Ben.
And we have with us once again a guest co-host, Samuel Lewis. Hey Sam, how you doing?
I got nervous there for a second. I was like, wait, am I supposed to say who I am? Let's
Well, I figured since you come in at somewhat randomly, I would just do the introduction for you. But if you become a permanent fixture, then you'll just have to jump in.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
I'm good.
what have you been up to? Because it's been a few episodes since you've been with us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do I talk about? Okay, I will give you guys an option. Either you hear me nerd out about something video games / Disney that happened recently, or I tell you about my new shaving regimen. So which one do you want to hear about? It's dealer's choice, as it were.
I'm not sure which one would be more interesting. So Ben doesn't give a crap about video games.
I'm here anyway.
I don't know. Dealer's choice. Go with whichever one you want to talk about, Sam.
Okay. I'll do the video games. Why not? Okay. So there's this game called Disney Dreamlight Valley that has been out for several years at this point. The way that I describe it is essentially think Animal Crossing with Disney characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you have this village, which I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to kind of tell you this is your imagination that you're in. And also, I will say, it goes to some dark places. Depression comes up in this game. Like, there are things I'm like, you're a Disney game. What are you doing? things like that. So
it's a real-life simulator?
real-life simulator.
It does kind of cover the whole you growing up and people telling you, get off that stuff. It's like, no, F you. it kind of deals with that sort of stuff. It's amazing. But anyway, how it handles all that stuff aside, which I think it handles it pretty well, but that's my little thing without spoiling too much if anyone wants to play it. They just recently had their most recent update, and it was the update I have been waiting for this entire time because they've been putting all these characters in this game, and we finally got the Alice in Wonderland update. When I say I lost my effing mind, oh my God. Whoever wrote the section of the game that you play in, because whenever you go to get characters, a lot of times you go to these little realms that are like pocket dimensions where they are and stuff, and you're pulling them out of different time zones of their storyline. And it depends, like Beauty and the Beast, when you go grab them, he's still the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when he comes to your valley, he's still Mr. Grumpy, can't deal with things, blah, 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 dude, and stuff like that. So it's interesting that they had it pull from that one. I could make very adult jokes about it. I'm not going to. You can fill those in on your own. it's about book talk, people. That's all I'm going to say. But otherwise, that it's added Alice and it's added the Cheshire Cat. So right now I've got Alice in my valley after going through a thing that pretty much makes so many references to the original Alice in Wonderland, your head will spin. Like if you were in love with Alice in Wonderland, you will lose your mind going through this thing because you go through the forest and all of its winding stuff first. And then you end up in the Queen's garden and everything, and you have to, okay, you know that old thing from Legend of Zelda where you had to go past the guards in Zelda's palace and they were like the most ineffective guards you've ever seen in your life and you could easily sneak past them?
I'm gonna have to take your word for it because I
That's never. Right. You've never played Zelda. I forgot. Nope. There was only one time where you've played Zelda, and it was when me, Shay, and a couple of my friends were watching you on a stream, and you were not getting the logic, and we were being total trolls to you in the chat room while it was going on.
I was doing it in an emulator on my computer, and I was streaming it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was playing Link to the Past.
Yep.
So I was like, if you can't pull this off, like at some point, I really do want you to play one of the 3D ones, because I wonder if that's not kind of the snap that was going on inside your skull, but who Could knows? We've had that conversation before, but yeah, it's really wild. The amount of love that they put in this thing. And for people that are voice acting nerds, they did get the original voice of the Cheshire Cat to do the voice. So he is still doing the Cheshire Cat.
He's still alive?
Yeah, Jim Cummings is still alive.
Okay. I didn't know who did it.
Yeah. Oh, Jim Cummings does a... into his CV sometime. Okay. And you'll realize you're like, wait, he was all these people. He's one of those voice actors where you go, oh, 90% of my childhood. Good to know. Sort of thing.
Oh. Winnie the Pooh since 88, Tigger since 89, the Tasmanian Devil since 91, Pete since 92, did Fat
Darkwing
Cat
Duck.
And Monterey Jack on Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the title character on Darkwing Duck, Dr. Julian Robotnik on Sonic the Hedgehog, Kai, I guess, on Jungle Club and Jungle Book 2, Cat Dog, he's Cat on Cat Dog, Ray and the Princess and the Frog, okay. Cool.
Yeah, he does a lot. So that was just kind of cool for him to, although there are a lot of weird, to me, it's weird anyway. I guess it's not in hindsight, but there are some actors who have come back to do the voice and you go, well, you know, you didn't have to do that because you're a big enough actor. You didn't have to, but they did anyway. Like, Sarah Silverman does the voice that she did in Wreck-It Ralph, for instance, because that character is in there. The comedian that played the rat in Ratatouille. Can't remember his name.
Cummings is 72, by the way.
Yeah.
He graduated high school the year I was born.
Mm. That'll give you some perspective, won't it?
Yeah. He's a voice actor and a podcaster, according to his Wikipedia.
I mean, one of the really good parts of that is that the actress that did Ursula, this is the last thing she did in her career before she passed away. So she came back to do Disney Dreamlight Valley, and then she passed away soon after. So it was one of those things where you kind of get that, like, oh, like we got her for one last time before she, you know, left this mortal coil, as it were. So, like, yeah, I have fun with it.
I get that. That's like, I can't remember his name, but he's the concierge, the tall black guy in the John Wick movies. And anytime a new thing comes up and he's like voicing it or whatever, and I'm like, because he voiced the main bad dragon in, oh, crap. I just forgot the name of that thing that your D&D guy created, Matt Mercer.
Oh, Critical Role?
Yeah. Well, not that, but the animated series that
Legend of Vox Machina.
Yeah, Vox Machina. The guy I'm talking about voiced the bad dragon in the second and third season.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the main one. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, continue.
I didn't know you had watched that. That's interesting.
I love that. I've seen every episode. That is a kick-ass show.
Yeah, and it's based on the stuff they actually did. Like, there's just a bunch of stuff that's completely ripped from it. You go, I remember when they did that. It's hilarious. And then the obvious one is the guy that does the voice of Hades. He's a big actor. Like, he has no reason to ever have to do that voice again. But 90% of the time, it's him, because he literally fell in love with doing that voice so much that whenever, if I know my lore correctly, that the movie Hades or the movie Hercules almost ran into financial trouble. And when he found that out, He was like, I'll do this for free. Mm. They were like, no, you're not going to do this for free. We're going to pay you. What's wrong? But he literally offered to do it for free because he loved playing Hades that much. So whenever they did the animated series, it's him. Whenever they do like any version of Hades, except for the one in the live action thing that they did called Descendants, that's him every time. Like, so he loved that character that much that he stuck with it. So, but yeah, so fun stuff going on with that. Let's put it that way. So that's essentially what I did recently. And I've just been grinding the star path in it and everything. And yeah, so that's what I've been doing to keep my sanity while the second half of the semester tries to destroy it, as it does every single year. So
James Woods did the voice of Hades.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't say anything. I can't stand James Woods. Sorry.
I was still wondering who the comedian was who played the rat in Ratatouille. Was it Patton Oswalt?
It was Patton Oswalt. Yes, okay. Thank you. Well, there you but go. Yeah, he came back. Well, and I looked it up too.
But there's a lot of voices in there. A couple of comedians. I just figured Patton Oswalt's the most famous comedian in this list here. So.
I have never watched Ratatouille. It
was Remy.
Yep.
Yeah. I have never watched it. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never actually sat down and watched the whole thing.
All right. Pop quiz.
Oh, no.
Because I know the answer. Who plays, who's the voice of the lemur in Madagascar?
Oh,
I did see that, but I can't.
We're talking about the king, right?
Yeah. How long is this going to take?
Borat, but I can't think of the actual actor.
I'm waiting for Donovan to seek help. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to
spit it out.
I did see. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. There we go.
Yeah. And Chris Rock did Marty. Ben Stiller did Alex. David Schwimmer did Melman. Jada Pinkett Smith did Gloria. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy. Mm-hmm. I do remember seeing this, but it's been a while. Some good actors in there. Hmm. So thank you for listening to this episode of What's on TV anyway.
Or what's not on TV anymore.
What's not on TV anymore. That is very true. Well, that sounds pretty cool. You send me a link to this so that I can put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
All right. Anything else?
Nah. I'll save other things for possible things. There's currently a ridiculous thing that I'm keeping my eyes on that I may tell you guys about just because it would be comedy gold, but I'm going to save it till it's actually out. Let's put it that way. There's a project out there that I think might have every single dang voice actor that has ever existed that you care about in it all at once. And it's insane, but we'll get there when we get there.
All right. Sounds good. Ben?
I have been running my ass off.
Yeah, I know.
Commuting an hour, 40 minutes, like 4 days last week. Mm-hmm. And then one more time yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Running a new network in a client's new office.
Right.
Old building, new location. Yeah, a lot of going to the crawl space and...
Which that was a damn good crawl space.
Oh, yeah. Great. But there's no access from the crawl space / basement condo to the main floor. So it's out and around the building through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working alone. There's no pushing cables and yelling at somebody to pull. It's me pushing and then going upstairs and yelling at myself because something didn't work out. So it was that. I think I took... probably 150 pounds of old cabling out in three bags. And I ran 11 drops. 8 wall drops and 3 access points. And then yesterday, I found out they're just going to use Wi-Fi.
They're not even going to use the land drops.
They don't intend to, but
they're there.
History will prove
that
they'll use them.
Yep.
They will find a use. I'll probably have to run more.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday night, a tornado passed by about a half mile away.
That has not been, as far as I know, that has not actually been certified that it was a tornado, but most people say it was.
Well, I drive by the place and I see this building that was on this side of the road and it's in pieces on the other side of the road.
I would say that's probably a tornado.
Trees having been twisted a little bit until they fall.
Yeah.
Plus the 13 hours I was without power because they had to replace two power poles.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm calling it a tornado.
I would too.
Whatever.
I would too.
It's not a named storm.
I think they said it had 60 mile an hour winds.
It was. There were bursts of wind that were more intense than anything I heard during Helene.
Mm.
And things flew off my house that.
Did you find them?
Yeah. I just got to find somebody to put them back up.
I know. I had no idea that any of that was even percolating. I went to bed about 10 o'clock and somewhere between 11 and 11:30, I heard boom.
Yeah.
And I was like, I woke up and I'm like, is that? And I heard this like freight train-ish and I'm thinking, oh shit.
Yeah.
And we just lay there, Lee's awake. And then I was like, okay, that's not wind that I'm hearing. That is the roar of rain. It is heavy, heavy rain. But then it would get more intense and I would be like, okay, I think there's some wind in that. But then I finally just drifted. My understanding is it only lasted like half hour.
Yeah. Once it got really, really intense,
mm-hmm.
it quickly died down and then just went away.
Mm.
My daughter was in Charleston, so we didn't have to worry about her. So we just got our son and kind of hung out on one side of the house till it was over, ready to run up and hang out up under the stairs.
Yeah, we've looked at the place that we have here that we would have to gather would be our guest bathroom because it's located in the center of the house. Mm-hmm. But there's no tub or anything in there. It'd just be like, get in this little 6x6 room and bend over and kiss your ass goodbye, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I was surprised. So it took out two power poles. That's the reason why you were.
They had to replace those.
Yeah.
I never saw the damage it did
because mm-hmm.
I couldn't get close enough. There were police parked there all day. And the recovery crews and things. I never saw the damage. I heard the sheriff said they replaced two poles.
Hmm.
But
at least nobody died.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything.
Mm-mm, me either.
But that, before that storm that day, Sunday, I finished watching the last season of Sopranos. I have to say that's one of the best shows I have ever seen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I have watched one episode of The Sopranos. And I saw the ending scene of the season finale. And that was it. I've never watched anything else.
One of these days, I'm going to watch it whenever I actually shell out for HBO. But now is not the time.
I got to say,
broke college student.
I think I torrented that.
You got it from Sweden.
Yeah.
How many seasons are there?
You six.
Remember? Six. Mm. Okay.
Season six is longer, but six.
Yeah, I mean, don't waste your money on an HBO subscription.
Now, I do want to buy the DVD because what I have is in like 480. I mean, it's terrible quality.
You need to go look for a 1080p.
If they have it on Blu-ray, maybe remastered, that'd be nice.
Yeah. The thing. Whenever I'm looking for something in Sweden, I always, in my search criteria, is always 1080p at the end. So I only get 1080p hits.
Well, I think I bought it in 2010 and I didn't ask about quality.
Did you get it on like DVD or no?
No.
It
was a torrent. Claims to be a DVD rip.
Yeah.
But if they did, it was low quality.
I was going to say, were they doing 1080p? Were they even doing 720p DVDs at that point?
They must not, because most of the movies that I backed up at that time are about the same.
Yeah.
They're like 480p.
Yeah.
Now, Lincoln, I got on Blu-ray and I've got that in MKV.
Mm-hmm.
And Plex, Plex goes, no.
What? Plex will.
QNAP can't handle it.
Oh, I was going to say, because Plex can play MKV.
Yeah. The hardware on the QNAP is not.
Oh, are you doing Plex virtualized on the QNAP?
Yeah. It's an app on the QNAP. Because it was really easy, but turns out, anything I want to do with that QNAP, impossible.
Hey, That Synology over there, that DS418, mm-hmm. 4-bay. So it's got one of those integrated processors. It's not like an Intel or a Ryzen or what you would get in one of the bigger
Annapurna Labs or something like that.
Yeah. So, but it's got added features for like decoding and encoding audio and video. Well, it also has the Plex app that you can install on there. So I installed it and I quickly uninstalled it because that poor little processor in there, they're like, yeah, it'll do 10-bit video and audio and all this other kind of shit. And I'm like, no, it won't. No, it will not. And so, you know, my content is just stored on it, but my Plex server is actually running on one of my Proxmox virtualization machines. But unfortunately, and I don't have anything that's got graphics cards that I can pass through to actually give it a little boost of doing the decoding. One of the Plex machines can stream 4K. The other one can't. Not well. So, but yeah, damn QNAP. Damn Synology.
What have you been doing the past couple of weeks?
Well, other than, I can't talk about that. Never mind. So I started working on a little project, and this little project, I spent some money, and in hindsight, I'm not sure that I should have, but okay. So we were just talking about Synology. Now, for those that don't know, Synology QNAP, those are what's called network attached storage units. It's basically a device that has anywhere from 2 drives to, God, I don't know, what's their biggest one they got?
24.
Yeah. So that is an appliance that you can actually buy. And there's benefits for going that route, but there's also caveats for going that route. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about one of those caveats later on in the show dealing with Synology. So several weeks back, might even be about 2 months now, I was watching, I think it was the WAN show, Linus Tech Tips. And Linus was talking about how he was an investor in this company called HexOS. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, they may have done a video on it. Maybe that's where I saw it. And basically what HexOS is, it's an overlay that makes it easier to manipulate TrueNAS scale. And TrueNAS scale itself, of course, is an open source network attached storage software that you can run on a plethora of hardware and put in your own drives and all this other kind of stuff. Well, at the time, the thing that I didn't really like about it was they weren't giving you a free version of it to test, even though it's in beta. And there was something about the pricing where they had announced it was going to be one price, but then when I went and checked it out, anyway, so I didn't do it then. I was like, whatever.
Sounds like Elon Musk is in charge.
I know, right? So last week, I got to looking at it again, and I had this machine that I wound up getting from another client, and I actually had Proxmox running on it. I put in, it's got an NVMe boot drive, a 256 gig NVMe boot drive, and it's got 3 1-terabyte spindles in it. And I was like, you know what? I don't really need this as a PVE, a Proxmox node again, even though I'd already added it to the cluster and everything. So I took it out because it's pretty decent. It's a i7 seventh generation processor and it's got 32 gigs of RAM in it. And I'm like, I think I want to play around with this HexOS. So I go and I look at it again and I finally bite the bullet and I spend $199 to get the beta. When it's finally released, it's going to be $299. Now, it took me a bit to get it to install. I'm not entirely sure why I was having such trouble, but one of the problems was myself, but then eventually overcome my ineptitude, figured it out, and moved on. And I got it up, I got it going, and they're not wrong. It is really, it is dead simple. You know, you just, once you get into the interface, you add a user, then you just want to add shares. You can install apps because keep in mind, everything that it can do, TrueNAS is doing under the hood. But for your typical, I guess, home user. And this is where I'm having trouble with the use case with this, okay? A typical, someone who's got a home lab that's playing around with this stuff won't need HexOS.
Right.
They'll be able to figure out TrueNAS. Now, TrueNAS is not as easy to manipulate and figure out as, say, Synology. I don't know about the QNAP interface. I've never seen it.
Similar.
Okay. But once you do a little bit of digging, you'll figure out how to do what you need, how to create your shares, how to create your drive pool, everything like that in TrueNAS. Well, they really, really dumb it down in HexOS, and they put a pretty black and with purple accent logo and all kind of stuff. And I mean, the interface looks cool. So I'm not begrudging them that, but I'm having trouble with the use case because I have discovered that I'm using TrueNAS, its actual interface, more than I'm using HexOS. The only thing I'm using HexOS for is, like, today I created one share when I first set it up last week. Today I created another share. I did that inside of HexOS because I didn't have to go through like 14 menus to try to do, and I'm being facetious, but I didn't have to go through the several steps to do it up under TrueNAS. But as far as going in and looking at all the various apps that you can run on there, like that speed test thing I had you test earlier today, that's one of the apps. Yeah. It's in the app store, if you will. And you can click on the app link in the HexOS, and it'll show you all of the apps, but they only have like two or four that are HexOS installable. The rest of them say you have to go, you'll click, and it'll take you to the TrueNAS interface to actually install them.
So it's just a TrueNAS wrapper?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
For $200.
For $200 for the beta.
Right now. Yeah.
Once it's finished, it'll be $300. And I'm like, okay, again, I'm having trouble with the use case. Because anybody that's got any technical know-how about them and knows that they want to set up a network-attached storage device is going to do one of two things. They're going to go buy a QNAP or a Synology or something like that because it's like, I don't have to do anything but put drives in it and go.
Yeah, and the drives are hot swap.
Yeah, they're hot swappable.
You don't have to figure it out in a white box case.
Right. Or they're going to be smart enough to figure out how to do TrueNAS Scale or Rockstore or there's a couple of other ones out there.
Or they're going to get a WD MyCloud off the shelf at Best Buy.
Okay, that's for people that have no technical experience whatsoever.
Still, if it's a...
I mean, I agree. And I'm being a little facetious and sort of shitting on those things because I hate them.
Well, HexOS sounds like it's in the middle where there's nobody.
That's what I'm running into.
You're between people who know what they're doing and aren't going to use it and people who don't know what they're doing and will never find out that HexOS exists.
Yeah. And that's what kills me is the fact that TrueNAS Scale is free. I think they make appliances that you can buy. But TrueNAS Scale itself is free. HexOS, being a wrapper, is not. $200 now, $300 later. So I have a little bit of buyer's remorse on that, but I'm like, well, it's a write-off, whatever.
It's experience.
It's an experience. It's a business expense. And now I know not to recommend it for anything because it's useless. Mm. And I'm a little, not saddened, but I don't know what the right word is here. I like to think that Linus Sebastian is a pretty smart guy with Linus Tech Tips. He invested in this company to make HexOS, and I don't understand why. I do not understand why at all, because it's not worth the $200 and definitely will not be worth the $300 when it's finally in its final phase.
I think only if they develop an application delivery platform or development environment that's easy to develop apps for, like apparently like QNAP and Synology, where it's one-click installs, easy configuration, and maybe support a wide variety of applications that might differentiate them between the existing established NAS companies and this. Is it $199 per license? So if you want three servers, is that like a per license thing, or is it?
I don't know. Hey, this is Future Don. I wanted to jump in here since I didn't seem to know the answer to the question at the time, but the answer is yes. Currently, it's $199 per server, which means it will be $299 per server. That seems a bit ridiculous to me, but I wanted to go ahead and clear that up, that after the show was done and I was showing Ben the interface and I showed him hexos.com, we did discover that it is per server. All right, now back to past me and past us. And I started wondering that, but I haven't looked into it because the way you interact with your HexOS server is you have to create an account on HexOS.com.
Okay.
To even be able to buy it and all of that. When you get it installed, you go to deck.hexos.com in a browser and logged into your account on the same subnet that your HexOS box is on. It will scan the network, it will find that box, and then you click add it. So now that server is added to that interface. And that's the only way you can interact with that server using the HexOS interface.
Oh, you can't drive up directly to the box?
If you do, you get TrueNAS.
Let's see what it looks like out of beta. How about that?
Yeah.
When there's a GA release, maybe we revisit.
Yeah, but I am curious about that. I don't have another machine that I can try to install it on and see if it'll cockblock me and say, you can't install it. You don't have another license for this. But it is a one-time fee. It's not like an annual license or anything like that. But
well, you better be able to install it on more than one machine then.
I would hope so. At the same time.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Hmm. And you can do virtualization. See, TrueNAS Scale supports virtual machines, just like Proxmox. There's no way to do those in the HexOS overlay right now. So you literally, like I say, 90% of my time interacting with this box is in the TrueNAS Scale interface, not in the HexOS interface. It's pointless, in my opinion.
So far, yeah.
So, cautionary tale, $200 just to test a beta product.
Well, we'll report back after the GA release.
Yeah, whenever that is. I think they've been working on this thing for a year, so we'll see. All right. Other than that, that's the only thing I really had going on was playing around with that and, you know, just taking care of clients or letting them take care of me. I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
They take care of me whenever they send those checks.
First of the month.
Yep. Yep, that is true. All right. We want to get into some stories.
Yeah.
All right. So, am I going to need my glasses? No, I can see it. I still swear I sound weird, almost like I've got like I'm being doubled or something whenever I'm listening to myself talk in this microphone. But if you guys say it sounds fine, I guess the recording will bear that out. So, okay. Intel says it's rolling out laptop GPU drivers with 10 to 25% better performance. Article over at Ars Technica. So they've announced significant performance improvements for their laptop GPU drivers, specifically targeting their Core Ultra 200V Lunar Lake processors with integrated ARC 130V and 140V GPUs. I can say I have no idea what any of that is.
Yeah, because we've never focused on Intel GPUs.
No. I mean, I'm aware of the ARC series because the A series sucked. They've just come out over the last few months with the B series.
Mm-hmm.
And again, according to LTT and their bench, they're really good. They're having some growing pains with drivers, but anyway, they're a good alternative to trying to spend $600-$800 or $1,500 for an NVIDIA card or something like that.
Yeah.
So the new driver version is 32.0.101.6734. It offers performance improvements of 10% increase of average frame rates, up to 25% improvement in the 1% low FPS, which reduces stuttering. These improvements are most noticeable when you are running at or under 17 watts of power consumption and you're using integrated ARC 130V and 140V GPUs. The drivers are available for all ARC A and B series desktop and mobile GPUs, integrated Iris Xe, ARC and UHD graphics GPUs, 11th gen core processors and newer. Matter of fact, I think that little box over there on the wall actually has an Iris Xe GPU in it.
We'll just throw on driver version 32.0.101.6734.
But.
And measure the difference.
But while generic drivers are available directly from Intel, laptop manufacturers will release their validated versions over the coming months. And users should note that installing generic drivers may cause stability or sleep and wake issues compared to the manufacturer validated versions. So if you have an HP laptop,
just get it from HP.
Just get it from HP.
In the coming months.
In the coming months.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be a cowboy, just go to Intel and get the generic drivers.
If you built your own box. The motherboard manufacturer.
Yeah. If they've got integrated graphics and it's one of those, then you still get it from them.
Now, real cowboys write their own drivers.
Vibe coding.
Yeah.
They do. They use vibe coding to write their own drivers.
You get ChatGPT to do that for me. I put this on here because I've kind of been interested in running LLMs.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people run, scaled down models on their MacBooks and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just thought, maybe they're making these improvements to, to perform better in the AI space.
Maybe so.
Otherwise, that was a geeky list, and I hope the listener wrote all that down.
Especially version 32.0.101.6734.
Right. And the drivers are available.
32.0.101.6734. That's the important thing. There, all of us suffered. That's.
It's also most noticeable when running under 17 watts of power.
Exactly.
And using the integrated ARC 130V and 140V GPU.
You know what I don't monitor when I'm running a laptop? My power usage.
Or my FPS.
Unless I'm in a game. And of course, I don't have a laptop that plays. Well, technically, my MacBook Air will play World of Warcraft. But
you don't.
But I don't. No, matter of fact, my subscription ends today.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been on the 6 month renewal for a couple of years now.
But then you got HexOS.
And then I got HexOS and everything went to shit. No, about a month or so ago, I realized before this, but I haven't been playing it. Matter of fact, my wife plays her account and mine. And so I was like, that's $75 every 6 months I'm going to save. And so today was the last day. It's just not the game I grew up with, man.
I've been paying for Microsoft Ultimate Pass, Game Pass Ultimate.
Oh, for the Xbox stuff?
Yeah.
PC too, yeah.
I installed Microsoft Flight Simulator and discovered my video card had thrown up everywhere. And then I played Formula One for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the thing nearly caught fire.
Jeez.
I've been paying for the pass for 2-3 years now. That's about it.
Is that the $15 or the $30 one or somewhere in there?
It used to be $15. I think it's about $18 now.
Okay. Yeah. Everything's gone up. Inflation.
Someone, my prices.
Someone tried to convince me of that. They were like, well, you could pay for the Game Pass of like with the time I have.
Uh-huh.
And then they went, yeah, good point. And like, they immediately knew what I meant. Yeah. I was like, I don't have time. I would literally be paying for something whenever I would probably pay the same amount monthly for just buying the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always afraid that if I start a game, I won't visit it for 6 months. And when I go back to there, it won't be in the Game Pass library anymore. I'll have to buy it if I want to keep playing.
Yeah, because that's a risk too.
Last time I paid for the Game Pass was because I wanted to play one of the Age of Empires. I think it was Age of Empires 4 or something like that. Because I was back in the early days when Age of Empires and then Age of Empires 2 came out, that was my jam. We would, me and my cousin and a couple of friends, we'd get on that because it was an online thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back there and you just, you have all of your camps and you try to kill each other and win the map.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't. Anytime I look at something like that, I'm like, you know what? I'd have access to all these games. And then I look at my Steam library.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing.
And I go down and I'm like, last time I played this one was, oh, that was 4 years ago. Last time I played, oh, it's no longer installed. I have to reinstall it. I still own it, but I have to reinstall. So yeah, it's just like, no, I've got real world things to spend money on, like fixing vehicles and shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Adulting.
Adulting. I hate it. You know what I discovered? Talking about adulting. So the month of May, I forget exactly. I'm gonna butcher this, but this is basically the old folks month. It's actually called Older Adults Month or something for the month of May. It's in recognition of the older people among us. And here in Tifton, our senior citizen center, the Leroy Rogers Senior Citizen Center, they're having a free lunch tomorrow for the older folks to come by and sit down and break bread. You know what the starting age is?
50.
55.
I was going to say 55.
Okay. You know how old I am? 50.
55?
55.
Already 50. Oh, wow, I've lost track of time. Okay.
Yeah.
Even I've been in a room with other people. And I think about it and I look around and I go, holy shit, I'm the oldest one here. That's beginning to happen.
Yeah.
I have been older than the soccer players on the team for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Now I'm older than a couple of the coaches.
In the professional leagues. There are a couple of my classmates that make me feel like I'm turning to dust. It's not as bad because I'm in a master's program now. So we're like a couple of adults in here and stuff like that. But definitely those that entered in at the normal college starting age are still like, I wasn't alive during 9/11. Shut up.
Oh, God. That's like my wife earlier today. She was looking at Michael's stuff, the craft store. Because, you know, Joann's is going out of business and all of this other kind of stuff. And she told me, she goes, honey, in October, I'll be able to qualify for their 10% discount on everything they have in the store. I said, they have a 55 and up discount. And she said, yeah, because she'll be 55 in October.
And she turns into that meme of the guy in the yellow coat behind the tree, just rubbing his hands and licking his lips like, yes.
Yep. That's it. That is it. Y'all want me to just read these?
It's up to you.
I didn't bring my glasses in.
Okay, I'll read them.
And all I have is my phone.
Yeah, I'll read them after I get a
swing. I brought mine because I have to.
I didn't wear a pocket shirt today.
Yeah.
So I just don't have my glasses.
Well, see, I'm at that distance right here where it is fuzzy, but it's not bad enough that if I put the glasses on, then I have to get up closer like another inch or two. And I'm like, no. Okay. millions of Apple AirPlay enabled devices can be hacked via Wi-Fi. This is from Wired. Researchers from cybersecurity firm Oligo, I guess is how you pronounce that, have discovered security vulnerabilities dubbed airborne, affecting Apple's AirPlay protocol. These flaws could allow hackers on the same Wi-Fi network to take control of AirPlay-enabled devices, including speakers, TVs, and car entertainment systems. And while Apple has patched these vulnerabilities in their own devices, millions of third-party devices remain vulnerable and may never receive updates. The attack requires the hacker to be on the same Wi-Fi network as the target device. And once compromised, devices could be used to maintain network access, hack other targets, or become part of a botnet. For CarPlay-enabled vehicles, exploitation would require physical access via Bluetooth or USB connection. What do you think?
Well, I mean, clearly vulnerabilities exist in pretty much any software platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the same thing with the IoT devices. The the cheap IP cameras that you get, they're vulnerable. They're not going to be updated. And it's the same for the non-Apple AirPlay compatible devices.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may not be. If they're from a decent name, like Logitech or Samsung or
True.
You know, whatever, that would, you know, those would probably be maintained. But if you got it off of Temu, it is likely never.
Well, now, if you try to get it off of Temu now, it may be $12.99, but they now have the...
Could it add $48?
They have the they literally have the tariff line item. So I've been seeing stuff that's like, this item is normally $12. There's a $40 tariff fee on it. So now it's almost $70.
I read a headline today that says Amazon is thinking about putting that...
They tried.
On each item.
They tried. And then...
And then what? They're not allowed to say how much the tariff is?
Then Daddy Trump called Bezos, and Bezos bent over and said, no, we're not doing that. That's the truth.
They're just going to show the price now?
Yeah.
Or not collect the tariff?
I don't know. That part, I don't know. But they literally came out in the White House press briefing,
mm-hmm.
and the little blonde chick, whatever, I can't remember her name.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's a bitch. But she literally come out and said that this was before it supposedly got walked back, but she said in the briefing that this was considered a hostile act if they did that.
Of displaying the amount of the tariff?
Exactly. I'm not kidding.
That's not clear. That's something is amiss.
No kidding. Sam, do you use AirPlay at all?
I do not, because I just Bluetooth everything. Like, it's, I don't really use AirPlay. Even my car is, I think, normal Bluetooth instead of, you know, because I've got a Ford Focus, you know, that mm-hmm. situation.
I have a good Ford
situation.
Focus.
That sounded negative, but yeah, you do too. That's why you know that.
Yep.
I
think you have the better transmission.
But yeah, essentially, all of my things are Bluetooth, so I have never used AirPlay for anything. So.
You don't have the Microsoft Sync in yours, do you?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. My I used to Bluetooth my phone to mine because mine also has the Microsoft Sync. The Microsoft Sync is crap. It doesn't work at all. Matter of fact, it's not even supported anymore. But the Bluetooth part, part of the reason why I quit using it is because my microphone. Because when my car was brand new, you know, I could sit there and do hands-free. There's a microphone built into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It quit working half the time. So I go to answer a call and I'm like, hello. And they're going, hello, hello. I'm like, hey, hello, hey, hello. Damn it. So I quit using it. And once I got my 16 Pro, I never hooked it back up to my car. I've got AirPods now. I literally drive around in my car with the AirPod in my left ear because I'm listening to a podcast. And then if anybody calls me, I'm hands-free.
Technically, yeah. Yeah. You could put the other AirPod in and turn on noise canceling, and you can pretend you're in an electric vehicle.
That's the reason why I don't do that, because then I can't hear shit outside what I'm listening to. So when I don't do it...
The noise canceling's pretty dang good. It's amazing.
It is.
Best car stereo you have ever had.
They are pretty awesome. Matter of fact, I'll be in the house. I have them both in. I'm listening to music or a podcast or something. And I'm cooking. And as soon as, let's say, the podcast ends, and then just a few seconds, suddenly it's like someone pulls something off my ears and I can start hearing everything. Because the noise canceling quits
mm-hmm.
when there's nothing coming through the AirPods.
Oh, I did not know that.
And as soon as I start playing something again, it kicked back in. Now, I have mine on adaptive.
Okay, yeah. Mm.
So I don't have it all the time. So I have mine on adaptive.
I have mine on everybody shut up mode 100% of the time.
Yeah, I was, when I first got mine and I put them in my ears, and I think I had it on enabled. And I put them in and I was like, I took a moment because I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And I pulled one out and I'm like, what? I put them back in and I couldn't hear anything.
It's amazing.
And so then I went and I found the settings and I changed it to off. And then suddenly it was like, whoosh,
yeah,
I could hear everything. And then I figured out what adaptive was. And I was like, okay, that's the setting I want. Hmm.
It's like a wall of sound hits you when you turn it off. It's like, this has been going on this whole time.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I'll be driving down the road. I'm listening to the podcast and I either have to cough or I'll say something like responding to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And suddenly the volume goes zoop because I started talking.
Yep.
And the ambience comes.
Yeah.
Just kind of, it fades back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're great. They're great. They don't fit my ears worth a damn, but they're great.
I have to adjust mine all the time. The batteries aren't lasting as long. I mean, that happens. Mm. So I'm thinking of getting the Bose Quiet Comfort.
Yeah.
Earbuds. Because I've not had a bad Bose product ever.
The latest one they came out with, Marques Brownlee did a review of them. Mm-hmm. And he said they are the best because they clip over the ear.
I read a headline that says that's a fad now. I mean, it's a popular thing.
Yeah. Well, lately. He has problems with standard earbuds like the AirPods staying in his ears.
Yeah.
So if you get the ones with the clips, then they don't go anywhere. And so he did a review of Bose's latest version. It's actually a version 2 of the previous version. And he said, these are like the best, you know, earbuds you can buy. And they're, I think they're around 200 or something like that.
Yeah, but they're a little bit more than the AirPods, I think.
Yeah.
But it's Bose.
Yeah. So wait a minute. I'm speaking out of turn. It's not Bose. It's what is the company that Apple bought? Beats.
Oh,
yeah, Beats.
It's Beats.
Okay.
Apologies. It's not Bose. It was the Beats that he did the review on.
I'm not buying those.
Why not?
Because I like Bose.
Okay.
Well,
the Beats
better sound through research.
Yeah. Man, I remember when they used to advertise those little radios with the little speaker you put on like a table or something.
Yeah, it fills up a room.
Mm. Why is your truck doing that?
I guess I leaned on my pocket. I've never had to turn that off yet.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I noticed that your tail lights, your brake lights start doing that before it starts making the horn. And I'm like, Ben, what? And then it starts doing the horn noise.
Sorry about that. I silenced my phone.
But not your damn truck.
Yeah. And I lean on the remote.
Okay. Episode title.
Lean on the remote. Silence the truck.
Leave it to me.
Well, you know, talking about vehicles, car subscription features raise your risk of government surveillance, police records show. This is also from Wired.
So breaking smooth transition, sir.
There you go. Like we said, we're professionals.
Totally intentional.
According to Wired, the increasing trend of car subscription features is creating new avenues for government surveillance. Police records show that law enforcement agencies are actively being trained to exploit data from, quote, connected cars, with subscription-based features significantly increasing available surveillance data. Different car manufacturers and service providers have varying policies regarding data sharing with law enforcement. Some require court orders, while others comply with simple subpoenas. In the article, it reveals that even vehicles without active subscriptions may still transmit data back to manufacturers. Senators Ron Wyden and Edward Markey have raised concerns about automakers' varying policies on customer data privacy, noting that only Tesla currently informs customers about government data requests. Luckily, I don't have a vehicle that has a subscription or has the capability of being able to report data back to its manufacturer.
I'm sure mine does. I don't pay for any subscription available. Not the OnStar, not the satellite radio, and not the Wi-Fi hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably still blasting everything back to GM.
But you're on a list somewhere.
As long as they don't share that with the insurance company, it's fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's what a lot of people would, you know, when insurance companies started coming out years and years ago with those little dongles.
Yeah.
You could put in your
that
vehicles.
That was never something I would ever do.
Oh, no. And it was like, if you're a safe driver, then you can save more money. But yeah, but if I'm not a safe driver, you won't know it unless I have a wreck. Or all this telemetry is sent back to you that shows that I do hard stops all the time. And then suddenly my rates go up.
Yeah. If I just have 1 week where somebody pulls out in front of me three times, my rates go up, even if I'm a fantastic driver.
Yeah. The older I get, the less I'm trusting in any of that kind. I mean, I never trusted that anyway.
No.
But it's like I said last time, you know, I have email on with Proton because it's in Switzerland.
I think Tesla has their own insurance they can provide.
Yeah.
And it's based on your driving. I think telemetry on the car kind of leads them to determination.
No.
I'm not a fan of it.
Mm-mm, no. I will never own a Tesla. Ever.
I can't imagine why. Anyway.
I'm not saying that till I
not like have, you've been very obvious about it so many times.
What I do want is I want one of those slate trucks. That looks cool.
Yeah. I want to see what comes of that. I think there's a lot of neat possibilities. Yeah.
Even if it is a Bezos company.
Yeah. I mean, Blue Origin's doing all right.
I mean, at least his trucks don't look like a cock.
God.
I mean, it's a penis rocket. It literally is a penis rocket.
Well, you're talking about a Cybertruck?
No, I'm talking about Blue Origin's rocket. It's a penis rocket.
Yeah.
A penis rocket that took how many women up to space?
It's a statement.
It is. It really is.
Wasn't it Katy Perry?
Gail King is an astronaut. You know that. Sorry, I had to.
And the federal government told them, no, you cannot claim you're an astronaut because you didn't go up into space. Past the whatever that line is. So, yeah. Katy Perry's having buyer's remorse now.
Oh, she paid for that?
No. Buyer's remorse as in she shouldn't have gone up there because of all of the negative publicity that she got from it.
It depends on what she said after.
You didn't see the picture of her kissing the ground?
I give a shit.
I know. See, that's what you got me for. To keep you informed of all this useless bullshit that you don't really need to know about. But I want you to know about
it. In other words,
it.
He gives too much of a...
because you guys are my friends and you need to be informed. And I am the informer.
Well, what's Katy Perry doing now?
It's just...
Hiding from the internet?
I think she canceled her... she had a tour that was supposed to be space... had a space motif or something like that. I don't know if this is fact, but I believe I saw a headline that said that she actually canceled the tour. Nobody on the internet was happy about these ladies going up to space because it was like all the money that was spent for y'all to go up there for 11 fucking minutes. Just think of what you could have done to feed children, put clothing on people's backs. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's that.
The optics were bad is what it turned out to be.
In this economy?
Yeah. Literally, the United States is going to shit and you're sending up a penis rocket with, what was it, six women, seven women? I forget.
I don't know.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to something more appropriate for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Synology confirms that higher-end NAS products will require its branded drives. This is an article over at Ars Technica. If you ever get an opportunity, I think it was two WAN shows ago. I know I keep talking about them, but go to LTT's YouTube channel. Linus talks about this for about half an hour and how much he despises this. But so as we've talked about, Synology, it's a popular network attached storage manufacturer. They have announced that their 2025, what they call their Plus Series devices, will require Synology branded hard drives for full compatibility. Without using approved drives, NAS devices may fail to create storage pools and lose features like volume-wide deduplication and lifespan analysis. The company plans to later implement a curated drive compatibility framework for third-party drives, allowing users to submit drives for testing and validation. Existing Plus models and lower-tier JN Value Series devices will not be affected by this change. However, what's notable about this is Synology does not manufacture their own drives, but rather rebrand drives from manufacturers like Toshiba and Seagate, typically selling them at a premium. As an example, an 8-terabyte Synology drive costs around $210, while the actual Toshiba equivalent is available for $173. Now, I can't remember what model Tyler has, but he bought a new Synology before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a 12 bay.
It's a 12 bay. Anyway, he had, it was complaining about his non-branded drives. Mm-hmm. And there was something else too. There's some scripts. Now, I don't know if these scripts will fix this, but the scripts that he found, you could run on the Synology box and it would make the warning, the bitching go away. Mm-hmm. It's not that the drives mm-hmm. wouldn't work in his instance. It also allowed him to open up to be able to put more memory in the box. So that right there tells you that Synology, unfortunately, is putting some artificial limitations on these boxes for either the right or wrong reasons, depending on your, you know, how you look at it from a business perspective. But I mean, if the drives, here's the thing, if the drives are only a couple of dollars apart from one another, not a big deal, especially on a Plus, because the Plus is your more of your professional mm-hmm. enterprise level stuff mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
Where I guess it irks me is like the drives that are in mine, those are recertified drives. So each one of those are 12 terabyte drives that I paid basically half of what they would have cost brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, and they're not Synology drives. So in this instance, if I were to try to use those, it would bitch and complain that I'm not using branded drives, and I would not be able to get certain data analysis or details off of the drives, which honestly, I don't use anyway.
But right, but in the enterprise, they monitor stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm betting these are not identical drives with a Synology label on them. I bet it has...
You think it's got special firmware?
I bet.
Well, it'd have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how does the drive...
How does it know it's not an off-the-shelf Toshiba drive?
So let me bring your attention back to something that Apple was notorious for doing years and years ago. They did the same exact thing. There was a while there, back when they were still using mechanical drives in certain iMacs, that if you needed to replace... Let's say you wanted to replace a drive. Maybe it failed. Maybe you wanted to go for a larger drive. Because I did that. I replaced my, I had a 24-inch 2007-2008 iMac in, I forget what size drive it came in, but Tyler and I went through, you know, we took the glass off, we had the little suction cups, we mm-hmm. pulled it all out, and we put a 1 terabyte drive in this thing. Well, my model did not run into this problem, but later models, if it did not detect certain firmware on the drive, it would not boot. It required you to get the drive from Apple or send it in. Let's say if the drive failed, send it in and let them replace it. So Synology is not the first company to do this kind of bullshit.
I'm thinking they're lazy.
Because they don't want to have to run the risk of supporting. Of
accounting for some particular configuration.
Yeah.
Or some drive firmware that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And that. You know, that kind of makes sense, but just let me use it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, like
these things aren't cheap.
No,
I mean, that DS418, which is no longer, I can't seem to find, I don't think they make them anymore. But when I bought it brand new with no drives, and it's a 4-bay, and it only has like 4 gigs of RAM or 2 gigs of RAM or something, it's a small unit. I think I paid like $400 for it. So yeah, they're expensive. They're good units. I like them. They're dependable. I love the DSM. I think I said, isn't it?
Yeah.
DSM, the interface. I don't think that anybody's got one out there that's as good or better.
Yeah, it's nicer looking and I don't know, easier to use than QNAP, but it's, you know, it's still similar.
Yeah. And the applications that they have, like the Synology drive, I use that a lot to back up PCs. Just slap that thing on there, use an account, set you up an account on the Synology, and just tell it what you want to back up. And it'll sit there. You can either set it up to automatically, as files get updated, it'll send them to the Synology. You can tell it to do it so many times per day at certain times. Synology Drive can also act like Dropbox.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, so it's a great product. And with my HexOS/TrueNAS scale, playing around with that, I have discovered that if all you want is to store files and you don't want any of this other ancillary stuff that the Synology can do, mm-hmm. okay, TrueNAS is fine. I mean, it's faster. I did speed test against it. It's faster than the Synology is. Mm-hmm. And the Synology has better quality drives. I just tossed in 3 1-terabyte Seagate and Western Digital drives I had laying around.
Yeah.
And I was running the Blackmagic speed test on my Mac, and it was kicking ass. I tried to run it against the Synology, and it choked. The Synology could not report back, could not stream the data back to it fast enough. And they're both on 1 gig interfaces. But otherwise, I never have any problem with this thing.
I've not had a problem with any of the Synology devices I've got in the field. I've had several drive failures in QDAP.
Really?
Yeah, but never in Synology yet.
But now, does QNAP require you to use their drives, or is it just third-party drives?
Just anything. Anything that's on their compatibility list, which is essentially the WD Red Series and the Seagate Iron Wolf. That's all they've been using.
Stop putting WD Greens in the damn things. I
don't think those would. I think those will go, nah.
Yeah. Even QNAP's like, hold up. Yeah,
you shove it in, the light turns green, and then it beeps and turns red.
And worse, then it spits to drive back out.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
Like, not today, Satan.
And meanwhile, I don't even do any fancy thing like a NAS, since my house is too small. Since I live in a trailer, I literally just have a drive dock underneath my desk. That's all I have, like a 4-bay drive dock under my desk. I don't even do a NAS.
That's the one you bought to use those drives I sent to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been working great.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I mean, if all you need is for backup, I've got so much data here, though, that I needed something like that. And plus, all mine gets backed up to the cloud, too. So if my house gets nuked, one, I've got bigger problems. But two, once I finally recover and get over the sickness, the radiation poisoning, and get enough iodine pills in me, then at least I can get my data back out of the cloud.
Unless sit there with the radio going.
Yeah, that's true. What'd you say, Sam?
While you sit there with the radio going, I don't want to set the world on fire.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll wake up and I'll be in a, what do they call those?
Vault.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in a vault. That's right.
Is that from Fallout?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The universe where it's completely coded to me, and yet every single time I've tried to play a Fallout game, I've rage quit when I've run into something way bigger than me.
I've never played the games, but season one of the show was kick ass.
I like it. I like watching I've Goggins.
Heard. Walter it's Goggins. On my list. Yeah, Goggins, he's my man. Yeah. He's good in everything. I remember him back from Justified.
Yeah, I think that's where I first saw him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, oh, man.
He had a sitcom called The Unicorn.
Unicorn.
Is it still on?
I know. It got canceled. I
saw one episode, and it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it got canceled. Any of us have a Sam's Club membership?
I do.
You do?
Because I forgot to cancel it.
Our closest one is Albany, right?
We're never in Albany, but Valdosta.
Valdosta's got one too?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I've experienced it because a friend had it. I think he still has it, but like I've gone in with him before, essentially. So I've been inside of a Sam's Club, but no, I don't have a membership.
I think I went in with Walt almost 20 years ago to the one in Albany because he had a membership. There's an interesting documentary. Well, you know how History Channel does all the this, like, they do these series about food in America or certain businesses or things like that. Mm. They had a series where they showed how Costco and Sam's Club got started and the history of that and the things that actually started before either one of those that kind of begot those types of things. And the reason why Costco is mainly on the West Coast and Sam's Club wound up being mainly on the East Coast for a while. It's really good. Well, talking about them, Fox Business has an article. Sam's Club is ditching checkouts, going all in on AI for purchasing experience. So according to this, Sam's Club is planning to eliminate traditional checkouts across its 600 stores in favor of an AI-powered shopping experience. The new system combines their Scan and Go mobile app technology with an AI verification system called Just Go. Customers will scan items as they shop using the app, and AI scanners will verify purchases as they exit, eliminating the need for receipt checks. The company's new store in Grapevine, Texas, already implements this system and serves as a model for future locations. The store also features other AI-powered improvements like automated forklifts and a pizza-making robot. While competitor Costco is maintaining traditional checkouts, Sam's Club believes this transformation will improve both customer experience and employee engagement. I have one word for this. Bullshit. Two words, fuck that.
This will not end well.
No.
But I want to try it. And I want to go people watch. I'm going to sit on there and eat a pizza that a robot made and just watch people try to get out of the store.
Yep. Because here's the thing. It's not that I necessarily don't trust the technology that's going to happen. I'm sure it's going to move smoothly and everything like that. You know what I don't trust? The human element of the whole thing. This is going to make me sound like a jerk, but here we go. It's because of an experience I had once running a self-checkout at a Walmart that makes me think something different about this that maybe you two don't have framework for. I remember once, and it may have been one of the few times I was ever snarky at my job, but I remember once there was a guy, and whenever they were first setting up the self-checkouts, the card reader was not coded, for lack of better terms. There's probably a better term. I can't think of it. To the self-checkouts. So in other words, all of the prompts that you would have gotten on the normal checkout also were on the self-checkout card reader. So they didn't change any of the verbiage. They didn't change anything. You know, they were just like,
you had to have gone through the training
because you know where this is headed. I remember one time standing at the little thing, which now the self-checkouts don't even have a thing. Now they have a little console that they hold in their hand and walk around. So they don't even have the desk anymore that you used to stand at. But I was standing at the desk watching everything, and the guy was staring at it. He turns around and goes, "Hey, do your job." So what happened was it had the thing where, because the card was going to be involved, it said it. For some reason, they always had this, and like none of the checkout people needed to be reminded of this. But for some reason, it said something along the lines of "Tell your cashier you're using a card." Like, you know, it was just reminding them just in case your cashier had gone for some reason. Wow. Snap them out of it. I was essentially there. So he gets the old prompt for the old checkout and goes, "Oh, I need to turn around and be an absolute jackass in the middle of everyone and go, hey, do your job." I took a little internal breath, small enough to where he couldn't see it, so it didn't look like sarcasm, and then walked over and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Those are not updated to what we actually have to do. All you have to do really is tap this button right here and then it carries on. I hope you have a good day." And then I walked over, man felt like he was 10 inches tall. He had this look on his face like I had emasculated him to all daylights. And that may be one of the few times that I have ever destroyed a person at a job before. And I did not feel bad about it, because honestly, if he had looked at the screen enough, then he would have figured out what was going on. So, yeah. No, I don't
I don't think of things in terms of the technology that's going to be involved. I think in terms of people being so set in specific things that there's going to have to be someone watching these things, a lot like the self-checks. You're not going to be able to eliminate every human in this entire situation. Right. It's just not going to happen.
I think if you scan, if you have to scan the item with your device, then yeah, it'll work. But if you throw 10 pounds of Snickers in the cart, you don't do anything. You just try to walk out with it. What happens?
The AI is going to catch it.
And do what?
I don't know.
Send a minion after you?
Beetle. Either that or they keep the person at the door that checks your receipt, because they do have a person that checks every single person's receipt at the end of the thing.
Except this will not do that. It says it eliminates the need for receipt checks.
Yeah. Or is it going to go, you got Snickers, and it just charges them for it?
It could do that. I know that they were talking about like the Amazon version of this, that if people walked out with stuff, it would still notice and charge them.
Yeah, because everything's RFID tagged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tyler saw, I think I shared this one in our family chat, and he said he made some comment about at least the Amazon stores did something different, that this right here was just going too far. Relying on AI. And I can't remember exactly what that was.
I want to know when they're going to turn it on, and I'm just going to go get a pizza and a Coke.
It'll be research for the show.
And watch. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So I need to get the company credit card. So I...
Okay. I still have to apply for it.
We'll get by the way, on that.
I'm on my task list for next week is start a company.
Exactly. Start another one.
So we're going to have enough companies for the number of domain names we've registered.
Well, that's true.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but Ben and I are starting another podcast. He came up with the idea and I registered the domain, so.
Oh yeah, once you draw people in, they'll make them for you. Mom's done that to me. Like, we've got two projects we're waiting for until she gets, whenever she gets retired. Like, she's coming up with ideas, and I'm like, and I'm the one with the disease. Okay.
You, it's just part of my addictive personality. I come up with an idea. I go check the domain. It's available. I buy it.
Yeah. Because that's real estate.
It is. Yeah. And even though I have been shopping for real estate.
I think, I don't know how many I've registered, probably 40 by now. I think I've only let maybe 5 go.
I have the damnedest, and I know we've talked about this before, but when one comes up, especially one, I'm like, I don't put it on auto renew. And when it comes up, I start looking at it and I'm like, but I don't want anybody else to have it. You know, I might can do something with this when I'm 65, but... I don't want anybody else to have it. Because what if they get it and then they do something spectacular and then I'm going to be pissed off because I didn't do it?
Or if I keep it, somebody else wants it bad enough.
Can make some money.
Location, location, location.
That's exactly right. Well, I am with you on this. I'm kind of curious about this for one main reason. I hate self-checkouts. I can't stand self-checkouts. The number of articles and research that has come out over the last decade that Walmart, Target, everybody that's tried to use self-checkouts have discovered that they're the main point of them losing their asses when it comes to people stealing shit.
Ooh. Was it you telling me about bottled water?
No.
Somebody told me, I don't know if it was this store here in Tifton or chain-wide, lost $100,000. A year in bottled water because it just travels under the on the bottom side of the cart and is never scanned. It just walks out the door.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, pay people a living wage and they can help you offset those losses.
Yeah, because I see a lot of folks standing around. You just pay two or three of those, something they can afford a mortgage with, and they'll do the job.
Yeah. I mean, when they added self-checkouts at Publix, which I don't go there a lot anymore, but that's where we used to buy groceries at primarily. But I think it was a year and a half ago, I walked in and they had three or four self-checkouts. Mm-hmm. And I went through the 10 item or less, because whenever I go in there now, I buy 10 items or less. And the cashier, she said, "How you doing? How's everything today?" And I said, "It was doing great until I saw those." And I pointed past her. She turned, she looked, she goes, "We don't like them either."
A lot of times I just have to pop in there for something simple. I'm usually paying with cash.
Mm-hmm.
Self-checkouts, no cash.
Yeah.
So I have to go through. I sent my son in there one night. He wanted milk. So I was like, "All right, you're going in." So I gave him a $5 bill or something. And I had to remind him, like, "Hey, don't go to the self-checkout. Go to a cashier." But their systems are decent.
Mm-hmm.
I would spend half the time in Walmart than I do already if they had all the self-checkouts open.
Yeah, I mean, what good is it to have 20 self-checkouts if only one or two is up? Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, they upgraded ours. I think we're going through the same thing we usually do, where for some reason my tiny town gets the upgrades before you guys do. Because remember, we got the McDonald's kiosk before you guys did. So I think that we might be going through the same thing.
Yeah, they're actually upgrading our marketplace here. Because we have a Walmart marketplace and we have a Supercenter.
Marketplace has been here, what, 2 years?
The marketplace?
Yeah.
Try a decade.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Tift Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Small Mart?
Yeah.
Been there 10 years?
At least. No. It's already had a facelift.
No.
Yeah.
They built it after I moved here.
That's been about 10 years.
No. That's been since 2018.
That's 10 years, right? We're coming in on it. Now, I was pretty sure it was built around 2015 or something. I could look it up, but
those are important details.
I know exactly.
What are they upgrading?
They're doing something. they're revitalizing or adding some departments within them. They're doing 20 stores in Georgia, and it just so happens that the one here in Tifton is one of them. But they're the future store.
Are they going to make it smell better?
I don't know. I don't go in there.
That Small Mart stinks.
I can't remember the last time I actually walked in there. We used to get our groceries there. We'd do the pickup there, but they kept being out of stuff all the time. And stuff also being people. They didn't have enough people to actually bring my damn groceries out to me. So we started going to the Supercenter, even though it's like a couple of miles further away. But it is what it is.
First world problem.
I know, right? It's damn one percenters. I wish. All right. Speaking about one percenters, Fitbit is dying a slow death. This is according to ZDNet. Have either of you ever had a Fitbit?
Oh, my wife has.
Sam?
I have. That was the first, back whenever I started giving a crap about health and everything, I had a Fitbit. So yeah, totally the little thing, clip to your side, get it, show all the steps. Like, yeah, I remember it fondly.
Okay. I've never had one. But I've always used my phone. And of course, once I got a watch and all that. But
yeah,
so that's what stopped me from having my Fitbit too, was my Apple Watch.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Google is, according to the article, it's a focus on Fitbit's declining features under Google ownership. They talk about the fact that Google is removing Google Assistant functionality from Fitbit devices. Google's AI assistant Gemini may be coming to the Pixel watches. Strava has acquired AI-powered running app Runner, and the Apple Watch is celebrating its 10th anniversary with special rewards for users who close their activity rings on April 24th. So I think this is one of those situations where Google does what Google does. They buy a product, they buy a company slash product, and then they eventually kill it. That's like, I don't think we have it in the show notes, but the early Nest models are no longer going to be supported, updated, or I don't even think you're going to be able to use them. I think you're going to have to replace them, which is shitty because they're not cheap.
Yeah. They're.
I think they are doing a thing where they're giving discounts, maybe. I think they were saying that on DTNS, that they're giving some discounts for people that have the older ones for that obvious reason, but otherwise.
Well, I mean, they could have competed with Fitbit, but I bet the purchase of or the acquisition of Fitbit was just an IP grab.
Mm-hmm.
And bingo.
So they're going to use the IP on their own devices. It's going to, you know, just like they're fading out the older Nest hardware.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you already have, they have the watch. Mm-hmm. They have the Pixel, which, to be fair, the Pixel line of phones for an Android phone, to me, is better than any of the other ones. I still have a Pixel 2. My wife had a Pixel 3a for a while, but she prefers Samsung. So we got her back in, God, I can't remember what she's on. She's 20, 23, 24. I forget. Anyway, Tyler has a Samsung, but I, if I were going to jump from the Apple ecosystem, one, I must have the RFK Jr. Disease and worms in my head, but it would be to go back to a Pixel because they're the ones that I really like. And but yeah, if you can do all this technology in a phone or something you wear on your wrist now, there's no market for something like a Fitbit anymore.
Right. When I got this B computer thing, that AI spy that's listening to everything. thank you. It has been interesting and I'm trying to make it more useful. But when I first opened the app and I think when I signed in, I could add a device that I just bought, or I could try out the Apple Watch app. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, nobody told me it was going to be a watch app. I could have spent $700 on a new watch instead of $50 on this wristband. So I could try a beta version mm-hmm. of an app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like I exercise, but anyway.
I think B computer is going to be, if it picks up and mm-hmm. finds success, they'll be acquired.
Probably. Let's just hope it's not by Google.
It does feel like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
I is bitter.
Even if Apple got them.
If I had started the company and somebody wanted to give me, I don't know, $50 million, what's the difference between $50 million and $60
million? Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, from a business standpoint, I understand. Yeah. You got a product, you know, a company comes a-calling and is like, hey, we see a market potential here. Here's $1 billion. You know, This is Minecraft all over again. Then sure. But for the users of the device, it can wind up being a shitty experience, especially if the wrong company winds up buying it, like Google. They'll get it for the IP.
Strip it,
and there goes the device.
Yeah. So they can monetize it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'll have to say, from my perspective, since I did bring it up, the Minecraft acquisition by Microsoft could have gone poorly, but it seems to have been one of those scenarios. And it looks like maybe buying Activision Blizzard is also going that same route, where they basically have a hands-off approach. Mm-hmm. They gave it the infrastructure and the foundation that it needed to grow, but that's basically, they were like, this is over here. Here's all the resources. Make us money. And that's it. They leave it alone.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I do too. All right.
But wearables is a different animal.
It is.
Yeah.
Last story. Another Wired article. Blue Sky is rolling out official verification. Blue Sky, which is a growing social media platform, is launching a new verification system that combines traditional Twitter-style blue check marks with a decentralized verification option. The platform will initially focus on verifying government officials, news organizations, journalists, and celebrities, with plans to later introduce a public request form. Additionally, Blue Sky is introducing, quote, trusted verifier status for vetted organizations, starting with the New York Times and Wired, who can also verify accounts. Users can see which organizations have verified an account by clicking on the blue check mark. This move comes in response to increased impersonation issues on the platform, which has seen significant growth since going public in early 2024. Now, that's an interesting concept. So basically, they're saying, New York Times, if you've got reporters that are on Blue Sky, you are a trusted verifier. yeah. you can verify that Joe Smith does work for the New York Times. Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. Something else I also noticed, I read there was a link, I think it's in the article, that basically a fact, it says, how do I get verified? And one of the things that it says that you can do to make sure that you get you get, I guess, maybe in top of the queue mm-hmm. is to use a domain name as your name, like I do. Huh. Mine is, bsky or whatever .app/callmedonovan.com. And the reason why that gets you in the queue, ahead of the queue, if you will, is because you have to go through some, you have to put some stuff in a DNS record and it has to do a validation and all of this other kind of stuff. Hmm. And so supposedly that puts me ahead of others that are just using the standard bsky.app/JoeBlow. And you can change it at any time. Mm. Because when I first registered mine, I didn't do that. And then I discovered that it was like, use your own personal domain. And I was like, really? Okay, I will. So whether this means anything or not, I mean, it's kind of like badges and everything else. It's like, cool. I got a blue check mark.
I'm a verified human being.
I'm a verified human being on Blueski, on Blue Sky.
Yay. The other echo chamber now has a check mark. How nice.
Exactly.
Didn't know how that joke was going to play. Glad it played that way. Anyway.
Hey, it's fine. I have said that the downside to Blue Sky is the fact that the majority of people on there are my people. Mm. There's hardly any contrarian viewpoints on there because most of it is liberal people and I'm left of center. That doesn't mean I agree with all of them because there's some really lefties out there that need to shut the fuck up, but they're absolutely nuts.
Hey, save it for the other show.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Save it for the other show. So anyway, I don't know if I wind up getting a blue check mark, you know, I don't know. I may have to go rub one out or something to celebrate.
Oh, God.
You know, but other than that, who cares?
You gonna live stream it?
On OnlyFans. I do have an OnlyFans account, so I may have to do it there.
Let's do it on X.
That's right. Porn is, you can do porn on X. Musk doesn't care. That's the reason why he has 14 kids.
Free country.
That's true.
He's up to 14 now?
That we know of.
Oh, I should send a card.
Yeah, you probably should. Because he wants to populate the earth with high IQ people, i.e. people from his loins, which is...
You know, he's only half the DNA, right?
He's... Yeah, and as we were talking
does
around...
Does he know that? Has anybody told him?
We were talking around the dinner table the other night, and it was like... Does he not understand that the actual smarts comes from the female lineage and not the male lineage? Like, well, I don't know. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I think we've had a pretty good time and we've talked about some shit that probably doesn't matter to a lot of people, but we had fun talking about
it. Hey, but our other show will have 100% of shit that doesn't matter to anybody else.
That's true. That is true.
It'll be good therapy for us.
Did I ever send you the new mock-up of the... I sent you the first one that actually had the two real look guys.
Yeah.
I went back and told it to make it a cartoonish. Mm-hmm. I never sent you those?
I haven't seen
okay,
it.
Okay, I need to send you those. I had to work on it because it kept giving me red hair. I'm not Sam.
I was about to say superior hair, but... says the guy that's missing some.
Well, happens to the best of us.
We're all the best.
You know, which is sad because I can grow hair like nobody's business and I'm the one that prefers to be bald. But yep. It's such a pain in the ass to stay bald. I have to shave every other day. And I was like, I get tired of it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I think I would shave a couple times a week when I shave my head.
I even have one of those bulldog electric shavers that just goes all over it. No.
Never had one. I heard the head blade.
Yeah.
didn't work.
Yeah, it was okay. I forget how much I spent, about $80 or $90 on it, yeah. but whatever. Okay. All right, Sam, where can people find you when you're not jawing with us on tech and everything else?
Well, you can find me on Twitter/X. I don't care. Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch, all at TSC and Sam. And hey, I'm looking at the calendar here. Well,
it's gonna be May.
Oh my God. He really?
The running gag continues.
I've never heard that till now.
Really?
Not, I mean, I've heard that song, but.
Oh, you've never heard it as far as it being the whole month of May?
May?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never heard it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the point. Now
you will be my day now.
You will not be able to get it out of your head.
This may be a running gag that has ran with me and Donovan for, what has it been, at least 3 years, where he just doesn't like the joke and I constantly shove it down his throat on the 30th of every April. Yeah.
I either get like a animated GIF or something in Discord or whatever that, yeah, every year for at least, it's probably close to like 5 years now, actually.
Might be. Yeah. I'm losing track, but yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah. May 4th. And of course, you know, for all of the nerds out there, May the 4th be with you. Mm-hmm. But May 4th will be my wife and I. We will be celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary.
Woo!
It's a long time.
Yeah, I know. I wonder why I quit drinking sometimes. I'm kidding.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, this is the best thing I ever did.
What? Marry her or quit drinking?
Yeah. Both?
The flatter one.
Both. Both is good.
Both is good. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that.
Rotel Dorado it. Both is good.
Both is good. Oh, and Ben is on Instagram.
You can find me on this show.
And find you on this show. So that's it. We are 2 weeks from now. You going to be available, Sam, you think, in 2 weeks?
Should be.
What is that date? Anybody got it real quick?
The 14th.
May 14th. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll work. So if everything works out right, we'll be back on the 14th, which means the show comes out 2 days later. So it'll be out on the 16th because it takes me a day, literally a day to whip this piece of shit into something that's listenable.
That's because somebody's fucking car alarm went off.
I know, right? God. All right.
If you cut that out, that has to be like an intro clip at the beginning of the episode. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, don't worry. Sometimes I'll catch little pieces like that and I'll be like, yeah, I need to do that. All right. Well, anyway, you can find the show at southgeeknews.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can go to voice.app/SGN. That is voice.app/SGN. You can email the show. Email address is podcast@southgeeknews.com. Or you can send us a text. The number is 229-234-1307. So that's going to be it for myself, for Ben, and for Sam. We hope you all have a wonderful whatever it is day that you're listening to this. And we'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks. And y'all, take care. Goodbye.
Ta-ta.
See ya.
This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting tiftonmediaworks.com.